Appreciate the message that Brother John has brought forth and desire and interest in your prayers the time that we stand before you. I want to continue on with the thought that we had last week. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Two more verses referring to it in the Gospels. Mark chapter 9, verse 50 says, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. One more verse in Luke chapter 14, verse 34. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savour, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but for men to cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He gives the principle and the teaching right here that salt has a great benefit if it is used properly. And we're not talking about salting your food here. But what he refers to as the salt of the earth, he is looking at his disciples, he's looking at the multitude, and Jesus Christ is teaching the lesson, and he calls them together, and they're gathered around, and Jesus Christ is in the midst of them, and he looks right at them, and he says, you, each one of you here, you are the salt of the earth. But he also says that it is possible for you to lose your savor or the beneficial effect that I have called you to be. I've called you as salt of the earth, and I've called you for a specific purpose, a specific intent. But if you don't follow through with what I have called you to do, then you are going to lose your effectiveness. You're going to lose your beneficial influence if you don't use what I have given you. I called you to be salt of the earth. But now you are deciding whether you're going to be using the gifts that I've given you, whether you're going to be using the talents that I've given you for the purpose and glory of Jesus Christ. We looked at last week, won't go there in detail, but we looked at last week how just a little bit of salt has a major impact on a large area. How that if just a handful doesn't take a whole lot, God doesn't have to work in great, tremendous numbers, but where even just a small handful, just a little remnant, just a few folks can have a savoring effect upon a large group of people, a city, a land, a nation. The example that we used. Hold on to this example. God said in Genesis, He said, it's revealed in His Word, He said, should I reveal to Abraham what I'm about to do to the wicked cities? The wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Should I tell Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham is a man that has taught his children. Says, God commended Abraham because he said his children, his family, are going to be taught in the ways of the Lord. And he said, I know that. And he said, should I reveal to Abraham what I'm about to do to destroy these wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? And when God reveals it to Abraham and said, I've had it. I'm full up of the sin. It's coming as a stench before my nostrils, the sin that is so prevalent, and I'm about to destroy the wicked cities. And Abraham says, God, would you spare those cities if there's 50 people that are righteous in those cities? And God said, yes, Abraham, I'll spare the cities for 50 righteous. And then he comes down and Abraham begins to count and take numbers. And he says, well, Lord, how about for 45? Then he comes back and he says, Lord, would you spare the cities if there's 30 righteous people in the city? God said, yes, Abraham, I'll spare it for 30 righteous. Abraham comes back to him. He says, Lord, I miscounted. Would you spare it for 20? If there's 20 righteous people in the city, would you spare the city if there's 20 righteous people in the city? God said, yes, Abraham, I'll spare it for 20. And then Abraham comes back and he says, well, God, I've miscounted again. You ever been there? How many times have you gone back before the Lord over and over and over again? And you wonder if he ever gets tired of me coming back to him. Aren't you glad that he doesn't? Aren't you glad that he doesn't rebuke you for your continual coming unto him? No, he delights for you to come to him. He wants you to come to him. Abraham goes back one more time and he says, Lord, would you spare the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah if there are 10 righteous in the city? Now, I'm sure Abraham was counting his relatives. He was counting Lot. He was counting Lot's wife. He was counting Lot's children, his in-laws. He was counting maybe other friends that Lot had done business with, some of his associates. And he thought, surely there's 10 people in that city of Sodom and Gomorrah that's righteous. And God said, yes, I'll spare the city for 10 righteous people in the city. Does a little handful make a difference? God said, I'll spare the entire two cities for 10 people that are salt of the earth, that are shining their light, that are witnesses for the Lord. He said, I'll spare those two cities for 10 people. This came to me a few weeks ago, and I don't think that I hope that I don't ever get discouraged ever again about little small groups. Little small group in New York, little small group in Southampton, little small group at Bel Air. Because with a little small group, it can have an impact, and God can spare an entire city. He can spare an entire country. I was walking down the street of Broadway Friday evening toward the, not far from the place that I stay, and actually called, or Brother Tim and his wife called, Brother Tim from North Carolina and his wife. And they said, where are you? And I said, I'm standing in front of the subway stop on 72nd Street. And I said, I'm listening to a little group. I found out later that it was a little group, about 12 people, of Korean Baptists that were singing gospel songs. Well, here I'm walking down Broadway, all of the distractions and the lights and activity, and all of a sudden, I hear Amazing Grace. And I thought, that has to be just for me. Maybe it's just in my mind. And so I began to walk around until I found, and there was a little group of folks, about 12 people, and they were singing Amazing Grace and In the Sweet By and By, and some of the old songs that we sing. I wanted to go over and just sing with them. And I waited until they stopped their singing, and I talked to them. And they said, the Lord has put it on our heart to shine the light that He's given us. And our desire is to, in the midst of these people, is to somehow glorify His name. He said, we have three reasons. We want to glorify His name. We want to help somebody. And we want His word shared. And I thought, you know, that's what He's talking about right here. Shining their light and being salt. He says, but if the salt has lost its savor, or savor, I'm not sure what the proper term is. I'm sure someone here will tell me after services. I found out that Angier is not Angier, it's Anger, North Carolina. Lady yesterday corrected me on that, so. But I know the definition of savor. Any savor. Anybody ever savored anything? About November 15th of every year, maybe the 16th, Sister Lee Reeves goes to one of the local grocery stores and she gets all the necessary ingredients to make a homemade German chocolate cake. And about November 16th or 17th, she'll bring it to church, and sometimes we share it with you all. And sometimes we don't. We share the same birthday, so that's one of the reasons that she brings this. But I'm telling you, from the first bite until the last, I can almost taste it right now. Boy, it's good. We'll share it with you this year. I can enjoy it from the first bite to the last. Now, the other day we were going through the drive-in and headed to church service at down in Fairfax, Virginia, and Sister Perry was with us and said, what do you want? She said, a hot dog. So all of us got hot dogs. So that approval that when you're almost 100 years old, you can still eat hot dogs. But I mean, we scoffed those hot dogs down. They had about three or four bites. Not Sister Perry, but the rest of us did. And I didn't really enjoy that. I just knew I needed to eat it and keep going. But I tell you, that German chocolate cake, I savor that. But he says that it is possible for the salt, that is you and I, every one of us here, it is possible for us to lose our effectiveness and our savor. And he says, if we lose that effectiveness and we lose our savor, he says, we're good for nothing. He says, just to be thrown out and to be trodden under the foot of men, basically say, you're of no benefit, you're not helping anybody, you're not of any value or of any good. But he said, that's not what I've called you for. Young folks, Bray, listen to this, and Tristan, and all the young folks that are here, Satan does not want you to be effective in your life. If he can get you off track when you're young and get you to follow his devices, then you're going to lose 20 or 30 or 40 or 60 or 70 years of effectiveness of being salt of the earth. That's what Satan wants. He doesn't want you to have an impact, a positive impact. He doesn't want you to have a positive influence on those that are around you. And if he can stir you up and mess you up and get you off course in your early life, then you're going to lose your effectiveness on those that are around you. Not just for the ones that are Bray's age, but it's all of us. Elder Mike Goins preached 30 years ago, and he said, you can make decisions that in 5 minutes you'll lose your influence for the rest of your life. What he's saying right here is, I've called you to be salt of the earth. In this earth that needs some salt, It needs some savor. I've called you to be salt of the earth. How can a church lose? How can an old Baptist church lose its effectiveness? God has given us in His Word clearly the doctrine of grace. He's given us clearly the sovereignty of God and the principles and the teachings in His Word. And if we begin to bring any new doctrine in, then it's going to lose its effectiveness. It is. God has given us a real simple way of service in the New Testament church. We have the authority. We have the authority for a real simple form of service of simply singing, praying, and preaching. And if we start to bring in some new things, the very simple form that He's given us is going to actually lose its effectiveness. It is. He's given us, yesterday Brother Lloyd Wilkinson spoke on this, and what a great topic. He did a great job. Spoke on the topic of forgiveness. Did you know that the way that God has designed forgiveness is that it is for healing. It is for healing for the individual that exercises it, and it's for the individual that receives it as well. And did you know that if we say, well, I'm just not going to do it, or it doesn't apply to me, or it doesn't apply to my situation, I don't think we should think for a minute that God has made an exception out of His Word for our situation. You ever go to His Word and say, well, I know that there's some loophole there. Surely somehow, Brother Phil's an able attorney, and he, I'm sure, is knowledgeable about being able to discern in contracts and things like that. If there's an out or a loophole, and when we design it as men, there may be, but there's not in God's Word. There's not. And there's not an exception for us in God's Word. We say, well, I don't want to forgive because they don't deserve forgiveness. Well, they haven't asked for forgiveness. Did you know that our basis for forgiveness in God's Word is not based upon whether they deserve it? It's not based upon whether they've asked for it. Our basis for forgiveness in Colossians chapter 3, he bases it, he said, as God for Christ's sake forgave you. Did you know there's not a one of us that deserve forgiveness? No. There's not a one of us that deserve it. And if we waited on Christ to forgive us based on our being able to deserve forgiveness, He wouldn't forgive us. In fact, if you go over and read the first part of chapter 5 here, he talks about those, blessed are those that are poor in spirit. He's not talking about from a financial standpoint. He's talking about those that actually see their own unworthiness, their own sinfulness. He says, blessed are those that are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. He's talking about the humble that see their sins and know them. But did you know that if we don't exercise this wonderful example and gift that God has given us of forgiveness, I'm just using that one as an example. If we don't exercise that, then did you know that we're losing our effectiveness as salt of the earth? We are. Or maybe here's another one. Anybody here ever been bitter? You may think you hide bitterness, but I'm telling you what, it shows all over your face if you're bitter. God has told us, He says, take some of your bitterness and put it away. No. We want to say that that's our approach. We'll take some bitterness and put it away. But we still, in the morning, we get up and we want to carry it with us. Have you ever been upset about something and you go to bed and you go to sleep and maybe it disturbs your sleep or maybe you sleep soundly, but you wake up the next morning and you think, now, I know I'm supposed to be upset about something, but I forgot what I'm supposed to be upset about. You ever experienced that? And you have to actually put forth some effort to remember what you're supposed to be upset about. That's just Satan wanting you to pick up and carry some extra baggage as you go along. Paul says, put all bitterness aside, and clamor and evil speaking. Put it away far from among you. Ye are the salt of the earth. I don't think this is a stretch from what this is teaching right here, that you and your children and your grandchildren are the salt of the earth. If 10 people that were righteous could sway the judgment of God upon 2 wicked cities, can you imagine what an impact and an influence that you have upon others in your family, upon others in your school, upon others in your workplace? God hasn't called you and I to change the world. We can get discouraged and we can become overcome with discouragement because of all the wickedness and sin that is around us. Or we can realize that God has called us to shine our light where we are. And whether it's in Bel Air, Maryland, or it's in Southampton, or it's in New Jersey, or it's in Washington, D.C., your sphere of influence is where God has called you to shine your light. Maybe even in Nashville, Tennessee, for some. What a blessing that God has called us to shine our light. It may be that God will bless your influence to be an encouragement to somebody else. On Friday night, Brother and Sister Dirks and myself were visiting at the Hepzibah house downstairs in the foyer area, and we were talking about the church and the blessings that it had been, and we didn't even know at the time that there was an individual that was sitting over in the corner. We didn't even know that I didn't know that he was listening, did you? And he was listening to the conversation that we were having. And as we wrapped up our fellowship, I said, how about if we close with prayer? And this young man said, do you mind if I come over and join you? He volunteered himself and said, can I come over and join you? And we had prayer and a little short visit. And we invited him to the service the next day, and he said, I'm going to come. And the next morning when I went downstairs, he was in the foyer and he was dressed and he was ready to go. And he said, the term you used last night was primitive Baptist. He said, tell me more about it. What can you tell me about the primitive Baptist or old school Baptist? I want to know more about it. So we invited him to come to the service, and he said, you know what? He said, my brother is visiting here from Lancaster, and he said, he lives down on 21st Street, and he says, I'm going to go get my brother. I want my brother to come as well. And he went and picked up his brother, and they met us at the service. It was two young men that grew up in India and had experienced some of the challenges that we'd mentioned to you as well. They stayed the whole day. They stayed for lunch. They went to the park and they stayed for fellowship. In fact, one of them, as we were walking back, he said, I have a little boy just about the same age as, I call him Luke by mistake, Asa is who I meant to refer to. He says, I have a little boy about his age. I have a little girl about 4 years old. I have a little wife named Evangeline, and he said they live in India, and I'm hoping I can bring them over here. And as we were walking back, he hands me the telephone. And he says, "Here, I want you to talk to my wife." I said, "In India?" He said, "Yes." And so we talked a few minutes, and told about the service and about meeting them. You will never know. God has called you to just simply be salt. Salt doesn't have to do any great thing. It just has to be salt. And if we're just using the gifts that God's given us, go over to Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it gives you a whole list of gifts that God gives His people, and He gives them to His people to use. We benefited greatly from one of Sister Tracy's gifts. When we got there and opened up these boxes, there was food for 30 people. And that was one of the gifts that God had given her to use. She fed folks from India, tried to feed one from Romania, all around, and had no idea that that gift was being utilized to that benefit. Find the gifts that God's given you and use them. My pastor used to say, he's now with the Lord, but he said, "You better use it before you lose it." That's the example of the talents that we have, that he gave 1 5, 1 2, and 1 1. And two of them used them, and the talents multiplied, and he gave them more. You want to have more talents? You know how to get them? Use the ones that God's already given you. You use the talents that God's given you, and the principle and the example is that He's going to give you more. You ever want to get something accomplished? You probably go to about the busiest person to help you get it done, don't you? Because you know they'll figure out how to do it. You use the gifts that God's given you, and He'll give you more. And then the bottom line is that the using of those gifts is just like those little Korean Baptists said, so that our God will be glorified. He hadn't called me to go to some foreign country. I support those that do. That's not the burden that I have. I'm thankful for those that do. But I feel like that we should use the gifts that God gives us in the areas and the doors that He opens for us. For some of you, it may be up in Pennsylvania, near Glen Rock, in that area. For the others, it may be up in New Jersey or Delaware for the Parkers. For some, it might be right here in Bel Air, Maryland. But we're called to be the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. And He's telling us to use the gifts that He's given us to be effective in being salt of the earth and shining the light that He's given us. If we don't use it, He may very well take those gifts and give them to somebody that will use it. May God bless you.